Tuesday, November 4th, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today we're in Matthew chapter 18, looking at verses 21 through 35, with part two of yesterday's message titled, Forgiven and Forgiving.
Coming to Him for help, and I want you to know, says the Lord, I'll forgive your sins. When I forgive your sins, there also is an unbreakable connection in your life, in your desires now to go out and demonstrate the same thing, because you're my children. For all those who have offended us, the Lord is the righteous one who will deal with all sin. We've all failed, but even our lack of forgiveness at times is the very reason we need to come and ask for forgiveness, that we would then go out and forgive.
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
They would also sell the wife and the children right on into slavery to collect the amount toward the debt. Imagine that. Jesus gives a figure here to accentuate the point, to draw out the point, to make us feel the weight of the debt. It's 10,000 talents. It's a debt amassed that nobody could pay in this life, in their money. What an awful scenario. He was obviously reckless with his money. He'd obviously incurred a debt that was so bad. He was so irresponsible. Think of the debt here. Sell him. Sell his wife right now. And his children. They're out. Separate them and get them out of my presence. And the surprising moment of the parable is as the man comes and begs, this good master, this really good master, has compassion. Deep inside, he wells up with compassion. The servant falls before him. The word here in Greek is to worship him. This guy worships the master, and he comes and he bows down and he prostrates himself with great reverence, and he pleads, Master, have Notice the familiar words throughout all the Bible. Have mercy on me. Great patience with me. I'll pay it. What a rash statement. You wonder about the request here, don't you? It's probably not very even sincere. And the most beautiful line of the parable. It's a remarkable parable. In verse 27, and out of pity for him, the master of the servant released him, point, and forgave the debt. The master didn't just put together a plan to try to charge interest and have him pay it back, which too would have been kind of merciful. He released it all. He let it all go. He forgave the debt. You know, what a remarkable thing. The Lord wants us to think about what a debt that was incurred. Would you ever do this? Well, the picture here is the context is really clear. It's the incredible mercy of God. It's the incredible mercy of God that people in this life receive. This is what gospel ministry is, you understand. This is why I make a big issue of the confession of sins and the announcement of the pardon and the forgiveness. It's what we're doing. How awful is the idea of having your family sold off because of your reckless behavior? How much worse is the truth that people will go to eternal hell and eternal fire for the debt that they have incurred against God? Because of sin. Did you see this week the man caught in adultery all over the internet? You couldn't miss it. I doubt some of our older people did, and I always say, blessed are you if you don't see this junk. But the man's at a Coldplay concert. He's the CEO of a big company. And you know, the verse, be sure your sin will find you out. That camera happens to land on him as he's holding another woman in his arms. Not his wife. And the shocking thing of it was how this was made sport everywhere. How did you, if you saw that, what would you think of a man like that? Could we have pity on somebody like that? He's a fool. He's indeed a fool. And look what he did. In one moment, he lost everything. He lost his wife. Unless she forgives him, I don't know. I don't know. His children, imagine the damage he did. His job. And now he's a public ridicule all over the internet. That fool threw away everything good in his life. Oh, sin. Sin is awful. And the most shocking thing was the next article I saw on Fox News, Hollywood's hottest divorcees heat up summer with passionate new romances. It's as if everyone gloated in the shame of it, and in the next breath, don't think a thing of it. As if it was a joke. Many of us will look on disgust with homosexuality. But adultery? Not even considering the people who gloat in this? That their own sin and shame has a debt that they can't pay back to God. So they're ruthless with people like this, aren't they? We should have been weeping. This man lost everything and incurred a debt in this life he's not going to be able to pay. What kind of mercy does the gospel offer, right? The master forgave it all. And God doesn't even put it on a massive screen for the world to see all your sins. This wasn't a little debt. This was a great debt. And what it cost to cover it was not cheap. Not cheap grace, is it? Not cheap grace. Oh, it came with a great cost. The amount we owe to God is beyond comprehension. We don't even think about it very much. To put it in plain scripture terms, the wages of sin is death. That's why we're all dying. Every single day, on top of that, we accumulate more and more debt. Every time you sin, openly or in secret. Every single day, we do things that if God numbered our sins, who could stand? God had every right to put an end to this and throw us all into hell, but he didn't. What did he do? You came here today to worship, and we did this. We read the law, and then I had the great privilege as pastor to announce something to you. Forgiven are all your sins. And he made it really clear in Scripture what the ministry is to do, what it's aimed to accomplish. Right then and there, this morning, in the confession of sins, you know what he did? He dealt with your sin. He didn't shame you, did he? Didn't put it on a screen. It's a ministry of reconciliation. It's what it is. So the pastor, you know, announces, all of you who look to Christ and have asked for forgiveness and by faith look to him, forgiven are all your sins. All the debt is wiped out. Think of the Heidelberg Catechism. We are asking, because of Christ's blood, would you not impute to us, poor sinners that we are, any of the transgressions that we do or the evil that constantly clings to us? And we're constantly struggling. And we're constantly sinning. And we're sinning against him. And we do the things even we don't want to do. And then here's the big point of the parable. Does he ever stop forgiving us? 70 times 7. He does it for you. You see, this is the joy of it. It's the joy of the gospel. Hear me. Every time you come and every time you confess, and don't ever stop if it's the same stupid sin. Every time you sin, every time you come, he wants you to know the joy of forgiveness. I won't make you pay the debt. I gave my son. It's gospel. See the beauty of what he's helping us with here. He's encouraging us in the joy of our own forgiveness. And in the gospel, the truth is God provides for us that the debt is paid. And now comes the painful part of the parable. Remember, it's a parable is a story illustrating a truth. It's not always a one-for-one kind of correspondence. In other words, this is not some salvation by works kind of teaching. It's illustrating a point. It's driving home a point. Verse 28, but when that servant went out, okay, so this guy goes out. When that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. Wow. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him. Notice the language. Have patience with me. I'll pay you soon. Have patience with me. He refused. Notice the difference here, by the way. He didn't go to his neighbor with any kind of compassion to help him who offended him. He's supposed to go, right, to help them win the neighbor. I want payment. And if I don't get payment, you're in trouble. He refused. When the guy asked for the same word, compassion, and he puts him in prison until he should pay. Notice that. He wants him out. Put him in prison, verse 30, until he should pay the debt. I want that debt paid. Did you notice in the next verse how this, or the next verses here, how it disrupted the whole community? That's just a wisdom verse of our Lord. The whole community got worked up about this. It was terrible what just happened. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were distressed. That's what a lack and sin and a lack of forgiveness does in the body. It distresses people. It not only distresses your own heart, it distresses everyone else. The behavior was so unnerving, it hurt everyone else. Because this master is a good master. You pay me. You know what he owed? He owed 100 denarii. As I would have said, 100 denarii. That's $4,000. It doesn't even compare. It's mass hypocrisy. He'll come to worship and say, I need forgiveness. And then this is the way he treats people. It doesn't work. He's dealing with others he refused to forgive, and he won't forgive his fellow servant. You pay me what you owe. He uses the same words in verse 29 in speaking to the king and begging him, have patience with me. This is the same words this man came begging this guy to forgive. So the issue comes to the master. The issue comes back to the master, and he says, master hears of it, and he says, you wicked servant. I forgave you the debt because you begged me. Would you not have compassion on your fellow servant as I had pity and compassion on you? And the master was angry and delivered him to the tormentor till he should pay all that was due to him. So the point of the parable today is really clear. Think of how God in his gospel has been to us. And Jesus is relaying this in the most profoundly strong manner because of the kind of heart that has never understood or embraced truly the great forgiveness of God in his own life. Do you know what you've been forgiven? See, it belongs to the natural man's heart not to forgive. That's the crucial point here. But the gospel comes and announces forgiveness, and it doesn't stop. Creates in us circumcised, Deuteronomy 30, cleansed hearts, circumcised hearts. And the angerness and the bitterness, he takes away. He takes it away. That's how wonderful he is. You don't have to live that way. You're the most free people in the world because you've been forgiven. You've softened my heart, O Lord. You've taken my bitterness and cast it all in the sea. You've taken away my anger in your forgiveness of me. Some of you may have been deeply hurt by someone, a parent, a spouse, a neighbor. The greatest blessing and fruit of a truly regenerate heart in this life is the ability to let it all go. That's a gift. Heidelberg, and so now forgive me just as I am fully determined. What's that language? Fully determined. Heidelberg Catechism. As evidence of your grace. Wholeheartedly to go and forgive our neighbors. See? It's incompatible for somebody to be truly a Christian and not have this disposition when he's been forgiven and knows the grace of God in his own life. It's the work of the Spirit. And that's what Scripture's calling us to. That's kingdom life. That's discipleship. That's how we demonstrate in our lives that we are his children by the love that we have for one another in this way. Thomas Watson once said, you don't need to climb up into heaven to see whether your sins are forgiven. Listen to the statement. You don't need to do that. Let us look into our hearts and see if we can forgive others. If we can, we have no doubt, but God has forgiven us. Then he said this, a man may as well go to hell for not forgiving as not believing. He equates it on the same level. A lack of forgiveness is flat out unbelief. Because you see what's at the heart of it. A claim that God's forgiven you in Christ. And Jesus concludes the parable that way. Every time you sin, I want you to come to the Lord. And I want you to know that he will forgive your sins 70 times 7. Do you believe that? It's how good he is to us. Every time, same sin. Asking for the grace to put it to death in your life. It's his work by the Spirit. If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you'll live. Coming to him for help. And I want you to know, says the Lord, I'll forgive your sins. And when I forgive your sins, there also is an unbreakable connection in your life, in your desires now to go out and demonstrate the same thing, because you're my children, for all those who have offended us. The Lord is the righteous one who will deal with all sin. You need help with it. That's why the whole Heidelberg tells us to pray. Help us. What is one of the petitions of the Lord's Prayer? Right? Help us. Forgive us our sins as we forgive our you know, those who sin against us. Pray that. That's one of the very desires. That's why you need help with that. We've all failed, but even our lack of forgiveness at times is the very reason we need to come and ask for forgiveness, that we would then go out and forgive. Lord, forgive my trespasses. What did he do for you today? He forgave them all. So now, Lord, help me to go out as I'm fully determined to do by your grace and forgive one another. And he promises. He is promising here grace for this, for his sheep. He's instructing us and helping us to know what a Christian is. So let's be about, putting it back in context, recovering lost sheep, wayward sheep. And that'll start by the way we show forgiveness in the lives of our brothers and sisters who've offended us. His gospel announces to you today the forgiveness of your sins. Believe it, and this will be the fruit that follows. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this text. Thank you for helping us with this. The lack of this in the church has been terrible for the witness of your church. And may in this place, oh Lord, we never harbor in our hearts that kind of lack of forgiveness or bitterness, but from the heart, may we forgive our brothers and sisters their trespasses. Thank you today for forgiving us. Thank you today for every time that we have come to you and confessed those same old sins. You have every Sunday, even when we haven't done it well during the week. We've confessed, and you've heard us, and you've answered us, and you've said, son and daughters, forgiven are your sins. As evidence of your grace in our lives, O Lord, if there's anyone we need to go to, we've been challenged on this, not wait around, but go to, would you greatly not let us rest until we've done so? And would you send us on our way to go to those in our lives who have sinned against us, that we, O Lord, might have the same disposition of our Heavenly Father in sending his Son who came to seek and to save that which is lost. May this be showcased in us as a work of your Spirit. And thank you for instructing us on forgiveness. May, O Lord, a lack of forgiveness in our lives be put away. May we never stand in the way of the very gospel we confess. In Jesus' name we pray.
That's all the time we have for today. We thank you for tuning into us here at Abounding Grace Radio. Be sure to tune in next time to hear more from Pastor Chris as he continues his series in the book of Matthew. Thanks again. Until next time.